Welcome to Session 10. We look today at the marks of a good leader, but another way, what leaders are worth following? Trying to answer this question, there is the danger of describing Superman or Wonder Woman. So I will hopefully keep to a few practical points that will help leaders to grow and those being led to follow wholeheartedly. And as we have said in previous sessions, some leaders are gifted in certain ways and some in others. So just because a leader is an exceptional teacher and preacher, he or she may not excel in pastoral ministry or children's work. Added to that, we are all fallible human beings and get things wrong from time to time. I'll look at this in more detail next time. The first thing we need to emphasise is that those who lead in church must be, to be effective, men and women of God. And what does that mean? Put simply, I would take it to describe those who have a clear and solid understanding of what the Bible teaches, who give time to prayer and who know the daily anointing of the Holy Spirit. Add to that God's appropriate gifting and an ability to inspire others to be good disciples of Jesus. There needs to be a personal commitment to fulfilling the vision God has put in their hearts and an ability to communicate that vision to the leadership team and the rest of the church. Proverbs 29:18 reminds us that where there is no vision, the people perish. Eric Delve talks about the four principal roles of leadership: exploring, modelling, adventuring and empowering. First two of these roles focus primarily upon the growth and integrity of the private person. The second two have to do with the public face of leadership, finding direction and team building. He says, "We need leaders today who are exploring the wide territories of the promises of God, the dramatic landscape of his covenant purpose through the centuries. We need people who are prepared to live in the big picture and convey the glory of what they see to others." Modelling gives a tangible example of what others ought to expect out of their lives. We all need inspiration, but at times it's too far removed from the nuts and bolts of ordinary living. Everyone needs someone to be like. That someone could be you. Adventure is always about risk. It has been said that faith is spelt R-I-S-K, risk. But I think faith is spelt O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E, obedience. Here's a question that scares me. What are you involved in that is so frightening it is doomed to failure unless God intervenes? You're on a great adventure. Stop living with burdens or fear and start to ride the waves with excitement and enthusiasm. The enabler or the empowerer has a far greater vision than his or her own life and ministry. They see far beyond these things to the eternal purposes of God. They live with a heavenly perspective and they live for a heavenly reward. The greatest test of leadership is the ability to pass on a legacy to the next generation and rejoice when they surpass you. That's especially tough when you've trained them, introduced them, but it is a great test of leadership. Years ago, we had a visiting preacher at the church we attended at the time. An older man and influential in his denomination and one whose counsel I greatly appreciated. He talked about Jacob and an experience at the Jabbok, read about it in Genesis 32, and reminded us that unless we have wrestled with God and prevailed, we will not be all that we could be for him. He likened the wrestling with struggling with life, not having it easy, as well as the wrestling in prayer that Paul talks about in Colossians 4. His closing comment was, "Never trust a leader without a limp." In other words, unless we have been through the mill a few times, we cannot understand what others are facing and therefore cannot lead them well. Apart from the things that we think of as spiritual, there are some things of a more practical nature that make a good leader. Are they good ambassadors for Christ and the church they lead? We saw how that was important when we looked at Timothy in Session 7. How do they spend their time? Do they manage their time well? A recent survey found that the average church leader has 564 meetings a year. That is 846 hours a year, the equivalent of 105 working days. Everything from the informal coffee with someone to chat about their next vocational step, through to the more formal gatherings of volunteer youth leaders to dream up the programme for next term. A good idea is to keep a fairly detailed diary so that you can see where time is leaking and do something about it. And remember, you're not a one-man band. Delegate wherever you can. Good leaders will look after themselves physically, maintain a healthy lifestyle, and make sure that they take proper periods of rest and leave. Beware leaders who are always at everything and nothing can happen without them. A recipe for burnout. But there is the other side of the coin. Church members should not expect instant availability 24/7. Some do. I've been on the receiving end. Financial integrity is important too, as is being consistent and persevering. This has not been a totally inclusive list of the good leader, but I hope that it has been helpful and a prompt to review the things in your own life. Next time, we'll look at what happens when it all goes wrong. A prayer. Father, please help me to be an effective leader of those you have asked me to care for. May I be filled with passion for the vision you have placed in my heart, by the power of your Spirit and in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.